actually, some mock drafts have Gurley that he'll be there at 11. Some of them have him going like in the top five. He's the one guy that's all over the map.
Yeah.
On where teams or these draft nicks think he'll go.
He's an athletic freak at running back, and he's coming off a knee surgery, so he can go anywhere.
Yeah, and but if people have had the knee test and they think it's fine, and we talked about this the other day, knee surgeries today are a lot different. I mean, sometimes they come back even better.
AP came back and rushed for 2,097
yards. They tighten it up. He might have a little looseness. They torque that thing up. It's like putting a wrench to it.
Like I've mentioned Joe Thomas before. He tore his ACL in college.
Hasn't been so shabby, has he?
No, he's been all right.
He's been okay for himself, for sure. You know, we will talk a little bit more football in a bit. But first, you know, there's a woman for ESPN wrote this. Sarah Spain, and I'm on the same page as she is. What she doesn't seem to get is why Floyd Mayweather, well, okay, he's been on the Tonight Show, ESPYs to Children's Choice Awards. Ray Rice, and I am in no way defending Ray Rice and saying it shouldn't have happened. I mean, his NFL career appears that it could be over because of what he did to his then-fiancée, now-wife. If you didn't see the video, you should, where he basically cold-cocked his fiancée, later married her, in an elevator. When the elevator opened, he dragged her body out and dropped her face first. And he has rightfully been given, they turn their back to him when he goes there. Yet, Floyd Mayweather, where I'll read from the story that Sarah Spain wrote. Mayweather has been accused of assaulting five different women in at least seven different incidents going back a decade. He was also found guilty of battery for an August 2003 nightclub incident, pleaded no contest to misdemeanor assault and battery in connection to a 2005 bar fight, and just last month, a report surfaced that Mayweather allegedly put a rear naked choke on his ex-girlfriend's 19-year-old son. What is that? What would be a rear naked choke?
It's a move commonly used in MMA fights.
Are you behind him and you're both naked? No.
I don't think so. That's not what it is.
Well, why is it called that, though? It's a pretty severe hold because it just takes your wind away?
Let's find out.
Check it out on us. Let us know. All right. But anyway, and here's the, there's more. One ex-girlfriend, is again according to the story by Sarah Spain, ex-girlfriend Josie Harris did in fact have bruises and was treated for concussion after an incident in September of 2010. Harris told Yahoo Sports that she believes Mayweather purposely used, quote, rabbit punches to the back of her head in order to avoid leaving many visible marks. The assault took place in front of two of their three children, and it was their son, Karan, then just 10, who escaped the house that night to tell a security guard to call police. Despite pleading guilty to domestic violence and battery and being sentenced to 90 days in jail, Mayweather still denies any guilt. He recently told Katie Couric he was just trying to, quote, restrain Harris that night. Karan, the son that was then 10, now would be about 15, who went to the security guard, told USA Today of his father's refusal to admit to his actions. Now, this is a son, 15-year-old son of Mayweather. He told USA Today of his refusal to admit to his father's actions. He is a coward. My gosh. Oh, okay. Now, Mayweather says his lengthy rap sheet isn't an indication of guilt, but the result of having a target on his back. This is quoting Mayweather to Katie Couric. Mayweather to Couric, I'm black, I'm rich, and I'm outspoken. Those are three strikes right there. Okay, your own son is calling you a coward. Your own son went to security guards. How do you explain that? I hope Pacquiao knocks him into the following week. And there's a lot of people who think Pacquiao can beat him. Matter of fact, George Foreman, it was odd what Foreman, did you see what Foreman said? He said that that Mayweather is pound for pound, Floyd is better than me and Muhammad Ali ever were. Yet, George Foreman is picking Pacquiao. He says he's rooting for Mayweather, who he believes is a better fighter, but he thinks Manny Pacquiao will ultimately win the fight. This is George Foreman talking, he of the grill. Mayweather is the superior talent, but the best guy doesn't always win. Floyd's going to have his guard down. Manny's going to take the first couple of rounds, and it won't be enough rounds for him to catch up. Do you care either way?
Who wins?
Yeah.
I've loved the Pac-Man for quite some time. I thought they should have fought 4 or 5 years ago. It would have been a much more interesting fight to younger bodies, and now...
Well, frankly, Mayweather's already won because he gets the lion's share of the pay-per-view, which I think it's, isn't it $99?
Something like that. It might be even more. I don't remember.
Well, and they also, they sold out. I saw 149, but today what I, the number I saw was the 149. But they're also, there's that, but the tickets, I think it was TMZ that did it. They had people monitoring it when tickets went on sale to the general public, and they were as high as 7,500 for, you know, not ringside. Ringside was like 75,000. But the $7,500 seats, 20 seconds they had sold out. The phone lines had jammed up quick enough. And they say that on the street, those tickets could be going for as high as 60,000.
Well, even though Mayweather gets a bulk of the purse, it's still a pride thing. This is a fight that Pacquiao's been trying to get for years. Like, they came so close, and then Mayweather turned into the little person he is, saying, but I want blood testing, like, the night before the match, and Pacquiao wouldn't agree to that.
What did he want the blood testing for? See if he had spun blood?
Something.
For what? What was he looking for?
Just
drugs?
For performance-enhancing anything.
Oh, please.
And you don't... Typically, an athlete is not going to want blood drawn the night before a fight.
No. That's ridiculous. It was just an excuse for him to not... You know what? If you're so tough, it shouldn't matter if he had something in his blood or not. Fight him.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
Money.
Money. Let's put your mouth where your money is or something like that. Maybe reverse that. But you know what? And I've heard all these stories. You know, I didn't have the tally. I didn't realize that the allegation is 7 incidents with 5 different women. You know what? You want to get into a bar fight? Fine, tough guy. I mean, I thought your hands were lethal weapons and you could go to jail. But if he is indeed assaulting women, and not, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's one woman, 5 or 50, it's wrong. And your own son's calling you a coward. But the guy's been given a pass by the media and by everybody. I mean, like I said, he was on the Kids' Choice Awards. How does he keep this reputation of being a sweet, wonderful guy?
He's rich and he throws money at people.
Well, you may have hit on it. The guy's worth, I mean, is there anybody in sports that is worth more than him? Right now, it used to be Tiger. I wouldn't
like
be surprised if it's him.
Still currently competing?
Well, yeah, who would it be? Well, here's net worth. His net worth is $280 million.
That's okay.
And he's earned more than $400 million. Hey, I got to throw the money around.
Show me the money.
You got to show him the money. $280 million. And it's got to be, actually, off of this fight, it could come close to that. With pay-per-view? The number of people they expect to get it. I love the fight. Well, usually it's happened certainly with fights, but you see it on TV shows where these guys, the whole show is built up around watching a fight. The one guy goes to the bathroom and goes to get some popcorn. He sits down, the fight's over. One punch and it's done. Don't you think these guys have an obligation to carry it into at least the second round, even if, you know, just to make sure that the thing doesn't end that fast?
Yeah.
But that's the chance you take. You ever do pay-per-view? I haven't. I won't.
No.
I won't give my money to these guys or anyone. You know, for that matter, for nothing to me is that important.
Zach tells us that Tiger's net worth is $580 million. So that's more.
It is more, but I wonder, you know, who's made more of the last 5 years? Zach, who's made more of the last 5 years? Mr. Google. And find out, Zach, see if you can find out what the estimated money that Floyd Mayweather will make off of pay-per-view. And aren't they getting like $100 million each for the fight itself? Or close to it. Does he know how to put his microphone on there? Zach,
sure.
You know how to put your mic on? Put your mic on.
Let's get this done.
Come on, Zach. You there?
Yeah.
Well, Zach, what's
you
the...
You hear me?
Hear you great. What is the number? Have you seen the number? Give us the number when you see it of what the... I think they're getting... I thought they were getting close to $100 million each for the fight.
If they're getting close to $100 million each for the fight, count me in. I will fight Mayweather.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You'll walk. You know what? After you guys just touch gloves, you go down
probably,
and just take it. Call it a day right there. Right? I'm taking a look here. Well, these seats are outrageous, and he's getting a good. But did you see also, by the way, that it's at the MGM Grand, I believe. They have banned any other casino or hotel in Vegas from showing the fight. Because if you're going to watch it, you better come there to watch it. I'm sure every room in the place will, you know, will have it available or have it on. That is just, it's incredible the amount of money that these guys are going to make on this deal. I thought I did see a 90 or a 149, but it must be the 99 seems to keep coming up on how much these guys will get for the pay-per-view. And he controls the pay-per-view, right? I think he always has in the past. So let me see if I can find that. Zach, did you find anything on what the number is? Or 651-989-9105, if you know. I thought I had seen it being close to a 100. Wait a minute, here we go. Where is it? Just these damned computers. They get you to the spot and then they back up on you.
But you said, here we go. I thought we were ready.
Here we go. No, here we go. Okay. Mayweather receives the lion's share of a 60-40 money split in a fight that could gross $400 million. Oh, my God. $400 million is what the thing's going to gross? And he gets a 60% share of that. So he gets what's he wind up getting? Like, well, $250 of that? Something like that.
$2 billion.
Well, yeah, about $240 of it. Oh, my God. That'll put him up. That'll pass Tiger, Zach. Don't you think? What'd you find, Zach? You find anything on the numbers? You can talk into the mic, Zach. That's where we gave it to.
Oh, wait. Here we go.
What?
Initial projections is $150 million to Mayweather, $100 million to Pac-Man.
And that doesn't even count pay-per-view. Oh, my gosh. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we will be joined by Ruth Lorden at Psychic Ruth, RuthLorden.com. We're going to ask her who the Vikings and who the Timberwolves will draft, and we're going to hold her to it when we return.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We are joined by Ruth Lorden at Psychic Ruth on Twitter, RuthLorden.com. Now, Ruth, I have a few questions to start. My first one: will Hellboy here ever play Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons for me? That's my first question, because he refuses.
We have to bribe him, and it might be a New Jersey kind of bribe.
Okay, so he'll come in with a couple of broken kneecaps.
I was actually seeing a little bit more the area
broken
from
ribs?
The waist up.
I like that, broken ribs. So
you
Hellboy,
try.
Hellboy, let's hear some Frankie Valli. Okay, Bob. Now, okay, we talked in the last segment about the Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, and I read about Mayweather allegedly assaulting 5 women in 7 different incidents. His own son called him a coward. I'm pulling for Pacquiao. Psychically, who do you see winning that fight?
There's some dirty dealing, but isn't the money on Mayweather?
Well, I mean, he's I would say so. That if he's a favorite, he's a slight favorite. I mean, this should be a heck of a fight.
Yeah, I see him hitting with an underhanded kind of punch, which may or may not be legal.
Ooh.
Something underhanded, going to draw some blood.
Well,
so he may get the win, but it's not a real one.
Well, as we had noted a few minutes ago, that one of his ex-fiancées claimed that he gave her rabbit punches to the back of the head so there wouldn't be noticeable marks. So he's been known, or allegedly been known, to take a few cheap shots. Now I want to go over to the Vikings. I'm going to give you several names and tell me if any of these names sound like or are the player that the Vikings will draft, all right? Trey Waynes is one.
He's up in the air. Is he an inconsistent kind of player? Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's not. And a little bit temperamental.
If you're a cornerback, there are going to be times when you're good and times when you're not. Devontae Parker.
Ooh, he's like a mini Adrian Peterson. He's got that same kind of
He's
arrogance.
A wide receiver.
He's got that
you
same
mean the attitude.
Yeah.
How about Kevin White? Now, Parker and White, both wide receivers.
Kevin White has a good chance. Is he sort of a straight and arrow, normal player?
Yeah, but the key is it doesn't matter what. I'm asking you about who the Vikings will pick. Have I hit on the name yet that they would take?
I think they may take him. They're looking, but there's also, I get a feeling that they can't make a deal. Contracts are stalled. Try as they might.
You mean with Adrian Peterson?
A lot of it is stalled for them. Like, how do they get a pick? How do they get this? What they want, they can't have.
Well, and the names I'm giving you, how about a Vic Beasley or Bud Dupree? Either of those stick out as names that the Vikings could potentially
draft.
That
Vic Beasley is strong. Do they need him?
Yeah, he's an outside linebacker. Now, he may not be there when they draft. He could go a couple of spots ahead of them. So, because he's a guy that, the guy that, I'll tell you, because I didn't tell you before we went to, the guy that seems to be gaining on a lot of draft boards, and this, again, it's all projections, is Trey Waynes, who's a cornerback from Michigan State. That the people that are, because they, but people are projecting the Vikings, well, this is a need, so that might be the guy they take.
Well, they thought Johnny Manziel would be number one last year, so come on.
Yeah, well, but none of the games I gave you, names I gave you, though, have jumped out and to you, and you feel like it's going to be the
that
Vikings.
The third name seemed really like, you know, jumping out isn't how Minnesota sports seems to be. They're more like turtles, slow and steady.
All right, so wait
and
a minute.
The third name you gave me
okay,
jumped
now you
out.
Got, now you have to go back. We had, first name I gave you was Trey Waynes. Then I believe after that I gave you Devontae Parker, then Kevin White.
Kevin White.
I think
that's,
Kevin White was.
That's the one that seems like he'll be there. He'll be there, and they'll be able to get him.
Okay, so that's the one you think that they might take. All right, well, if he winds up sliding there, so that would be the guy. And then the last one I was going to give you is Brandon Scherff. Nothing with Brandon?
Scherff.
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 Scherff. Like Sheriff?
Scherff.
Like Sharif, but Scherff?
Yeah.
So they have a Sharif and a Scherff.
Yeah.
Scherff.
Sharif Scherff.
Sharif Scherff. Scherff.
Sharif Scherff.
Sharif Scherff.
Yeah.
Sharif Scherff.
I don't think he wants to be here.
He's from Iowa. Anything's better than Iowa. You gotta look at it that way. Let's not, you know, let's not mince the truth here. All right. So it could be Kevin White and what you're seeing. Now let's switch over to another team. The Timberwolves have a draft, and they're okay. I'm gonna give you four names. Because the worst they can do is four. You tell me which one sounds like it'll be a future.
They need a forward.
Yes.
They need a forward. And I just saw Flip Saunders giving up. I give up. Kevin's coming in, and it's who Kevin likes. He wants to play with everybody first.
Kevin should just retire. But let me give you the names. Karl-Anthony Towns, Jahlil Okafor, Kristaps Porzingis, D'Angelo Russell. And I'll throw in Justice Winslow, but that makes
that
no
Jahlil
sense.
That Jahlil guy, is he powerful?
Yes, he's a guy they'd like. But
yeah.
That's who they like, but will they actually get to draft him? Will they get the pick? Because they can be anywhere from first to fourth. So the four guys I gave you, the likeliest ones that they would be looking at.
Yeah, the Jahlil guy's the one they would like.
Yes.
And they may get him later in a trade. There's going to be some dealing under you know, at the end of it. There's the draft, and then there's the change-off draft.
Well, but I mean, if they wind up with the fourth overall pick, it's unlikely he will be there. If they have the second pick, it's likely he'll be there. He could be there for the, I don't know about the third pick.
Don't they have the first pick because they're so bad?
No, they have the worst record, but they have, because they cheated years ago. The NBA has a history of teams that, like, they threw games so that they would get the first overall pick. And then they went to the lottery, and that's when the first lottery they had. The New York Knicks somehow won when they go behind closed doors, and they get Patrick Ewing, the best player in the draft. Jeez, it's amazing how that works, where the team that they want to feature winds up with the pick. And the fact that they do it behind closed doors, mm-hmm. So no one can see what little ball comes up and what comes up and when it comes up for whom. So, but you're thinking Okafor.
It's Jahlil.
Jahlil Okafor.
He's a great player. I'm seeing funny knees. Like, he's got the kind of knees that can go in 90-degree angles and not get hurt. That guy is lucky.
So he's got rubber knees.
Yes.
Well, not so bad. By the way, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. If you have a sports question for Ruth, we'll throw in a personal question. Also, we did that last week, and we got a few callers that loved asking us about sports and getting a personal answer psychically from Ruth Lorden at Psychic Ruth and RuthLorden.com. Now, Ruth, the Wild, they're in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. It's tied 2-2. Tonight, they play. Give me an idea of who's going to win and give me a score.
They're going to do it. I'm seeing maybe four. Yes, last game. I was at the Medina giving greetings, and I passed by the large screen TV, and I looked, and I said, you know what? They're about due for a loss. I could just feel it, because what I felt was they didn't change it up. They were, don't fix what isn't broken. Let's stick to what we're doing. And that does not work. And I think they're ready now to change it up. They realize, oh, yeah, you know, they're Minnesotans or Minnesotans. And they just woke up and went, oh, yeah.
Which
I think they're ready.
Which was the player who talks like an oaf?
That was just me, right. The whole team. That's their collective consciousness or unconsciousness
well,
in this case.
Unconsciousness is probably the better way to. You know what? We've never asked. How about Hellboy here? You got a question for Ruth? You want to know something about your personal life?
Oh, I think you just covered that question. I wanted to know who sounded like that.
Who the oaf was?
Yeah. We go play hockey.
We play hockey now.
We play the puck.
I'll tell you what, I've talked to a few football players and baseball players who sound like that.
And I think it's very funny. Somebody called me. I have a client. Do you know that there is hand-done personal makeup for the announcers for the hockey teams?
What?
Yes. They have their own personal
hand.
Stylist.
What do you mean hand?
Hand.
You mean manicures, or they get put like
they
makeup
get
on?
Their makeup put on.
And then they have it put on their hands, too?
All through them.
Well, we'll have to talk to Tom Reed about that and ask if he's got some, what kind of makeup he's using. If he's using, what's that makeup? The Mac? Isn't that a big kind of makeup?
Yeah, a lot of people do.
If he's wearing Mac on his mitts.
Well, they don't need to do, Mac is for the people that do their own. They have a professional, very expensive makeup artist that comes in.
Okay, this is not the local guys. These are like the national network guys, right? The local guys aren't getting that type of thing.
I'll ask. I don't know.
Well, that's the TV guys. Well, Tom's not a TV guy.
Yeah, the TV people. I mean, other sports, they do their own.
But maybe hockey. Even in radio, you need to feel beautiful to call a good game. So
we have got this.
Slather it on the makeup.
He's putting it on. It's probably why he couldn't join us much later than 2:15. He had to go put on that hand cream and the makeup. You may be onto something there, Ruth. That would be that'd be interesting. Okay, now tonight you gave us the winner tonight. Will they win the series?
I do believe they will. If they keep shaking it up, they got to change it up. They're determined. They are healthy. They are healthy. That the goalie has a little bit of thing above his knees. He's a little bit worried. And his spirit just said nothing. A little bit of ice, and his spirit winked. Can't cure. So, who knows what he's going to be using? But so, these guys are do or die.
Do you see them winning in 6 or 7? If you said they're going to win, so it's best 2 out of 3 now. So they either win in 6 or they win in 7.
Well, they
games.
Come here and then they have to go
no,
back
they,
there.
They're there and then they come here and here. They have to go back. Yep.
Yeah. So? Maybe 7 games. I'm hoping for 6, and I'm going to light a little candle so it is.
All right.
But if I had to psychically predict it today, before I light the candles, I'm saying 7.
All right. Well, that's what a lot of people think. Ruth Lorden from RuthLorden.com and at Psychic Ruth, thank you. And, well, we'll talk to you. Well, you'll be back here next week, and we're going to take a quick break. And we are going to be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com and his sponsor, Premier Pool and Spa. We'll be right back with Jim Suhan. We are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. And Jim's segment is sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. You should check them out. And now, Jim, so what are you feeling down there? Good news for the Wild or not? What do you think?
I really found both teams to be really pretty loose. It's almost like they've gotten over the feeling out and try to figure each other out period of the series. Now they just kind of know that it's going to be really intense, that this is perhaps the pivotal game, where I don't think you could have said any of the first four were pivotal.
Yeah.
And what really struck me today was, here's Ken Hitchcock, 708 career victories, going to go into the Hall of Fame, has won a Stanley Cup, has coached in a million playoff series, a million big games. He was talking this morning about how he's never seen this kind of just second to second to second sheer intensity and commitment from two teams. And this is, again, a guy who's won a cup.
Yeah.
He was talking about the fact you have two teams that are completely buy in to having defensive systems, to playing those defensive systems, not giving the other team any space or any time. Two teams that pride themselves on checking and forechecking. He said that he's never seen shorter shifts earlier in games from even supremely well-conditioned athletes. But they're putting so much into it. They're putting so much effort into it that 20 seconds into it, 30 seconds into it, they've got to get off the ice. They can't do it anymore. It's a remarkable thing. And, of course, he didn't say it. I could have said it if I wanted to be a jerk. I said, you mean everybody but Vanek, right? but really, I mean, it's been that kind of a series.
Yeah.
And to me, the fascinating thing is you've had really kind of a close series, yet some of the games have felt really lopsided.
Yeah.
And so I asked a bunch of guys this morning, why would that be? And they said, because both teams are so good at checking, at so good at holding the puck when they have a lead, that and so good at preventing easy scoring opportunities, that one team gets a goal, and there's both this emotional letdown from the other team, and also this realization that it's not going to be easy to overcome even a one-goal deficit.
Yeah, you know, it's I think if you're a Wild fan, the thing you take that's most encouraging from what you said is that the Wild were loose after that 6-1 loss. I think that's a big deal.
Well, I've seen that in sports, I used to have that conversation with Tom Kelly and people like that all the time. It's actually easier for a professional athlete to get over a lopsided loss than a close one.
You don't dwell on it.
If you get killed, then it's no one person's fault. You don't have to reflect on one moment or question, oh, man, if I had done this one thing, or if I had been a step quicker here, I could have won that game for my team. You lose 6-1, you go, okay, we all stunk, and you just move on. It's that simple. When you lose a close one with the stakes this high, that's where everybody spends the next 2 days second-guessing themselves. Those are the tough ones to get over.
That's a good point. And, you know, Jim, when you were talking about it, you started off talking about Hitchcock. Here's Ken Hitchcock, 708. I thought the next word out of your mouth was going to be pounds.
You know, he's not a well-conditioned man. I'll admit that. He actually looks much worse on TV than he does in person. He's just kind of a... just looks like a guy, you know, he looks like a middle-aged banker. You know, he just doesn't look like an athlete, but he looks like a middle-aged banker.
Well, Jim, the camera puts 200, 300 pounds on you sometimes, depending on the angle.
I know it does it for me, too. That's why
it does for me.
On camera, I look like 250 pounds.
You know, my problem is people's eyeballs put extra weight on me. I don't know about the carry. That's what I'd say. I try as much as I can. And obviously, if they're all loose, Dubnyk seems loose, too. I don't know if you had a chance to, you know, if he was available today, you'd talk to him.
Oh, yeah. And he's one of those guys you pull for. You hope he's going to have success and some staying power here because he's a great dude. And he's got a great sense of humor. He's self-deprecating. He always tends to say the right thing. You can talk to him off, with the recorder off, and Pretty's that way too. And it's a good group. You know, I remember covering the Gabrick Wild teams. There's not necessarily a lot of fun to be around. There are a couple of good guys on there, but they kind of distant, kind of uptight. Gabrick was kind of uptight, and never really had a great command of the language. You know, you walk in this room and you got Parisi sitting there cracking jokes. You have Dubnyk sitting there cracking jokes. It's there's a good vibe around this team. That has nothing to do with whether they win or lose. It just happens to be a fairly likable group.
You know what he looks like when you see Dubnyk? He looks like the tall, goofy guy in a sitcom. The very tall, goofy guy.
He does. And he has the giraffe painted on his helmet, and that's what he reminds you of. He's got kind of the long, lanky, long-necked look.
Yeah, I mean, actually, what I love about the guy is that it's not like he's not what you would get. He's not matinee idol looks. He's a good-looking guy, but, he strikes me as a little goofy.
Yeah, and kind of has that kind of every man down to earth. Now, here's a funny one. The person who came up with it didn't want his name used, but somebody, we're standing in the Blues locker room this morning, he looks over and goes, Shattenkirk looks like Latka. You remember Andy Kaufman?
Yes.
Andy Kaufman with his helmet off, he looked like Latka from Taxi.
That's pretty good. Was he wearing like a white suit?
No. Oh, yes, he was. And he was doing
the mechanic, he was doing some working on somebody's car. That's pretty good. Well, now, today, for instance, you went to the skate. Are there any good lunch places in St. Louis? I'm trying to remember.
There are. I used to live in St. Louis. It's not one of my favorite towns. And there are some good hidden away barbecue joints. Listen, it's a big city. There are plenty of good places. You know, every American city, there are good places to go. Frankly, though, we just stayed by the arena reading like a Landry's, which is good.
Okay.
It's a chain place, you know?
Yeah. Now, how about, are you doing a podcast from there, right, with Russo?
Yeah, in fact, 4 o'clock, Russo and I will be doing one from the press box at the Scott Trade Center. And that's at twohandonfilter.com along with all the other ones.
Yeah, and obviously, you got to talk hockey now. Now, this is Russo. He's as good as anybody in the country when it comes to covering hockey. But, I mean, he just must be in a zone himself with the playoffs here.
Think about Russo. He gets fired up to cover preseason games. So it's really kind of fun to be. He's one of those people in the business that kind of energizes you when you're around them. He's so into it. He has so many connections. He probably wouldn't want me to tell you this, but, one of the more prominent players on the Wild, they're sitting down at lunch. One of the more prominent members of the Wild, texted him a little thing today while we're sitting here. I mean, he has great connections. He has great energy. He's all over the beat. He's all over the NHL. It's really fun to cover stuff with him. He's just so locked in.
Has he ever covered it? Did he ever cover another sport? Because he is so in tune to hockey. I don't know if he, you know, because some guys, they get a job, well, you're going to be our hockey guy. Has he always been a hockey guy? Did he cover other sports?
Oh, he always wanted to be a hockey guy, and he worked his way up to the point where he could have his own beat in Florida. I used to work for a friend of mine in Fort Lauderdale, Sentinel. He's spent time around the football and baseball beats, but he's a hockey guy. And you know, the other thing about hockey is, and I've had this conversation with a million people in our business, you know, if you cover the NFL, guess what? Sheffer and Glazer are going to break most of the stories.
Yeah.
No matter how good you are as a beat writer, that's the system. Their organizations are tied in with the NFL. They're billion-dollar partners. Those guys are going to be, one way or another, those guys are going to end up breaking the stories. Basketball, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski is going to break 80% of the stories. You know, he's just locked in with all the agents. You know, baseball, Rosenthal, again, Fox has a billion-dollar relationship with baseball. He's going to, you know, he's one of the people who's going to get a lot of stories. Hockey just doesn't really work that way. It's really more of a grassroots reporting system, and Russo's, you know, knows all the players.
And he's breaking stories. By the way, he did a nice job, and you probably, you were there. He did a nice job between periods the other night for Fox Sports North.
Yeah, he's just good at what he does. And he's a great guy. He's a blast. That's the thing. I love it when the Wild are in the playoffs and they get to go on the road, cover high-level hockey, and hang out with Russo. It's pretty good stuff.
That's not too shabby. Well, Jim, have a great night, and we'll talk to you on Monday. By then, this thing could be over.
It could be.
Unlikely.
I just, my gut says 7 games. I tell you what, even if I almost feel like the way this is going back and forth emotionally, and that's what Hitchcock talks so much about today, that whoever wins tonight will probably have a disadvantage in game 6, whether it's the home team or the road team. I just think it feels like 7 games to me. Of course, I'm probably wrong, but if you want to talk about feelings, that's what it feels like.
Well, we'll certainly know. We'll know by Sunday sometime. Jim, thanks a lot. Jim Suhan.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, take care. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com for his podcast. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Works great in Minnesota summers, too. Premier Pool and Spa. They take fun seriously. And you, this is your time to take this seriously. Write down the number, 651-989-9105. You call that number, you'll be one of the first three to call, and you will have a shot at 4 passes to World Comic-Con at the Convention Center next weekend. You can go with Hellboy because he'll be there. 4 passes to Comic-Con. We're going to have a little trivia contest. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. Probably the easiest trivia contest you've ever seen. And all you have to do is call, be one of the first 3, and you get your shot at 4 passes to Comic-Con. We'll be right back.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout.
Time to give away some Comic-Con tickets. A 4-pack next weekend at the Convention Center. It's trivia, Stanley Cup trivia. 3 questions per contestant. Whoever gets the most right wins. We have a tiebreaker. We can handle that, too. And our first caller is
Brad from New Brighton.
Brad from New Brighton. Brad, how are you?
Doing well, Bob. How about yourself?
Good. All right. You ready for your first question?
Yeah, let's give it a go.
All right. What was in the Stanley Cup named after Lord Stanley? What was Lord Stanley's first name? Was it A, Frederick, B, William, or C, Stanley?
William.
That was Frederick. It's actually Frederick. It was Frederick Arthur Stanley. That's okay, though. You could get 2 more. These are not the easy. They're okay, but all right, here. We'll give you a true or false. Make it easier. A woman has her name on the Stanley Cup. True or false? A woman has her name. Well, you still got a shot at another one. At least 7 women have their name on the cup. The first one was in 1955. Marguerite Norris was president of the Detroit Red Wings. Notice the name Norris? Well, it's after that family. She was president of the Red Wings back in the 50s.
Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris was her son. I don't know about that.
I might need a lifeline on this last one, Bob.
No, you're going to be fine, Brad. You're going to be fine. What was the first U.S. team to play for the Stanley Cup? Was it A, the Portland Rosebuds, B, the Seattle Sloughs, or C, the Punxsutawney Phils?
B.
The Seattle sleuths, Brad, really? There's a horse. You ran the table. But you know what? You don't go anywhere because, it would. By the way, it was the Portland Rosebuds. You could still wind up being in the tiebreaker because I thought these were easy. Apparently not. We're going to go to line two.
Kelsey in Shakopee.
Kelsey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. All right, you ready for your questions? All related to the Stanley Cup.
I am ready.
What year has the distinction of not awarding the Stanley Cup? Was it A, 1929, B, 1919, or C, 1939?
Let's go with C, 1939.
Tell you what, Brad's in the running yet. No, the answer is 1919. Now, okay, remember 1919.
Root beer.
19, a good root beer. Why wasn't the Stanley Cup awarded in 1919? Was it A, because of World War I, B, because of an influenza outbreak, or C, because Lawrence Stanley had a hissy fit?
I'm going to go with A.
Brad's looking better and better here. It was the answer. No, you do. These are not as easy as I thought, like I said. The answer is B, the 1919 final between the Montreal Canadiens and the Seattle Metropolitans was not completed due to an influenza epidemic. All right, now here's your final one. What city was the first NHL city to win the Stanley Cup? Was it A, Toronto, B, Montreal, or C, Winnipeg?
Montreal.
You are still in the running, you and Brad both. The answer is Toronto Arenas. They won the Cup in 1918, 8 years before the NHL became sole owners of the Cup, and that happened in 1926. There were others that were in contention. That's, you know what, though? We should go to a tiebreaker. Let's go to our next contestant.
Travis from Anoka.
Travis, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Bob. How are you?
You get one right, and you got it.
All right.
What was the first team to win the Stanley Cup? Was it A, the Montreal Canadiens, B, the Montreal Triple A's, or C, the Montreal Dragoons?
C.
We are running the table here today. It actually was the Montreal Triple A's, which stood for the Amateur Athletic Association. They won the Cup in 1893. All right. True or false? The Philadelphia Flyers were the first expansion team to win the Stanley Cup. True or false?
That would be false.
One more and we go to a tiebreaker. It's true. The Broad Street Bullies, as the Flyers were known, won back-to-back cups in 1974 and 1975. All right, this one to either win or go to a tiebreaker. What former Montreal Canadien won the most Stanley Cups as a player? Was it A, Jean Beliveau, C, Henri Richard, or C, Jacques Lemaire? This has never happened. We go to a tiebreaker because nobody got the right answer. Go back to Brad here. We'll start with him. Brad.
I should have made him like Star Wars questions. This is for a Comic-Con.
No, I know that, but this one, this is fine, though. Okay, here's the tiebreaker question, Brad. Among them, as players, coaches, and front office guys, how many cups did Beliveau, Richard, and Lemaire win?
11.
Okay. Brad says 11. Let's go to Kelsey. Kelsey?
I'm going to go with 15.
15?
Yep.
Okay, let's go to our, who's our final caller again?
Travis.
Travis, that's right. Travis, how many are you going with?
I'm going to say 13.
Kelsey is going to Comic-Con. The real answer is 39. Brad and Travis, thank you for taking part in that. Kelsey, you were almost halfway there, but you came closest at 15. Let me give you the rundown. Beliveau had 10 plus 7 as a member of Montreal's front office, 10 as a player, so he had 17 Stanley Cup wins. Richard had 11 only as a player, and Jacques Lemaire wound up having 11, 8 as a player, 2 as Montreal's assistant GM, and 1 as the New Jersey Devils coach, and 0 as the Wild coach. But you win, you're getting those Comic-Con tickets. So Perfect. You could hold on and you'll get that. By the way, Kelly, put it back on for a second. Kelsey, do you care who wins tonight? Are you a Wild fan?
I am a Wild fan.
So give me the score.
I am thinking 3-1.
All right, 3-1.
Wild win.
Thank you. Go back to Brad. Let's get his score. Brad.
3-2 Wild. I think it'll be a nail biter, Bob, but I think we're going to pull it out. Maybe OT?
That's what Hellboy's calling for here. Thanks, Brad. You were great. Thanks for taking part in the contest. Cheers. That was fun. All right. And Travis, how about you? What do you think the score is going to be?
After the last game, I'm going to say 4-2 Wild.
Well, as Suhan talked about that, too, this game, these things go back and forth. So it could turn out being that. Thanks a lot to Brad, Kelsey, and Travis. Thanks, Travis. And Kelsey's going to wind up going to Comic-Con. Got her 4 tickets. That's good. Good for her.
Yeah. She got... You got to win something by getting,
honest to God,
nothing right, but it's awesome.
I didn't think they'd run the negative table.
Well, I don't think too many people followed hockey in the 1910s.
It didn't matter, though. Okay, all right, excuse me a second here. Let me see who had this question. I figured this was a gimme. Which was the first U.S. team to play for the Stanley Cup? The Portland Rosebuds? Okay, the Seattle Sloughs? Or the Punxsutawney Phils? He went the Seattle Sloughs.
Yeah, well, shot in the dark.
Yeah, I should have went with the Affirms, the Allardyce. How about the
Pittsburgh Man
O' Wars? Yeah, the Pittsburgh Man O' Wars. All right, we're going to call it a week. Thank you for listening. We're going to turn things over to Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. Sunday, the ticket will be at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, giving away sweet tickets. If you have tickets to the game, hey, you can do what you want with them. Give them away, sell them.
Sweet.
We can give him to Hellboy. We'll call him. He'll be there in a minute. But you have a shot to win sweet tickets on Sunday, about 2 hours before the game at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Have a great weekend. Come back and join us starting at 2:00 next week. Looking forward to it.
The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around?
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.